And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from City Team, we have its Executive Director, Quinn Tucker, and its Director of Development, Nancy Kraske. Ladies, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. And now let's get started with, for people who are not familiar with City Team, can we get that quick 30-second elevator speech about who you are?
Well, City Team is a national organization, 5 cities in the U.S., and our area of focus is to provide programs and services that help people with their immediate needs and offer lasting solutions, particularly in communities that struggle with poverty, violence, drug addiction, homelessness. We're looking to find those very difficult areas and make an impact right away.
And what's the footprint for this particular chapter?
Yeah, so we're located in the city of Chester. We serve all of Delaware County, and we serve households into Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware, and a few households in South Jersey as well.
So now let's talk about the need for this first of all. Do you want to describe the community that you're working with?
Yeah, it's a really diverse community. And so the thing that unifies most of the people that we work with is that they're experiencing some type of crisis or hardship in their family or household. So we are located in Chester, which has a reputation for crime and violence, drug addiction. Having lived there and having our work exist there for so many years, we see it as, you know, much more complex and a really beautiful place. But people do struggle quite a lot in our community. And we're planted right in the center there to not only help Chester, but that's really our starting point for impacting people who struggle.
It's got problems with intergenerational poverty, I know. It has problems with lack of job opportunities. It's got a lot of problems. And well, actually, all of this area have those problems.
It's really true. And you see people who are motivated to do well for themselves and for their kids bump up against systemic issues that prevent them from moving upward. And you also see them running against opportunities that just don't exist. You know, the employment issue is a very real one for the people that we serve. And so you see why, after generations of struggle, that people turn to whatever may provide them comfort. You also see that people form small communities that just are trying to survive the situation that they're in. So they're not even thinking about the big picture or these ideas of comfort that, you know, many families, individuals, even elderly folks in our community are looking for how they're going to survive the life that they have.
Are we looking at all ages here? Are you dealing with families or do you deal with individuals?
Well, that's a great question. So we do different things for different people. We have on the lasting solutions side, we have a couple of programs that are residential where we're working with people long term to help them really move past the situations that they're in. Those programs are only for men right now. So we have a long term drug and alcohol support program where men live with us and get back on their feet. And they do a whole lot of things while they're in our care, including working on their sobriety, but also looking to improve their employment options and to move past where they are. And we have a long term shelter for men who are homeless, maybe they don't have that addiction issue. So in that case, we're really looking at the whole person. There's an individual who's staying with us right now who he's in his 40s, but he just got his GED for the first time, and he has just gotten an admission letter to Delaware County Community College where he's going to go work on a trade. So he's got sobriety goals, and we're a faith-based place, so he's growing spiritually, and now he's got this opportunity to create a new life for himself with education. So those kinds of things are incredibly exciting. On the other side, we have lots of outreach programs, and that's more for all ages, depending on what people need. And so we have a weekly produce pantry that we provide for anybody who needs produce. Almost no questions asked. Just come to us and you can get fresh food to take home to your family. And that's elderly people. That's young families with kids. Those are working people and some people who are not able to find work coming there. And we have also programs that target really young parents and young moms, helping people who are in that really vulnerable place of having a newborn and not a lot of connection or community or resource. And so we're open every week for them to drop in and get some support and help as well.
I think that's great that you've used this term several times now, that you're looking at lasting solutions. And so is this a holistic approach when you're dealing with an individual?
We do our very best. And you know what makes that work, too, is we know we can't provide everything for every person. So we're always looking for collaborative partners who are doing maybe a focal area that fits into our holistic work, and we can be a gathering place for those other agencies to, we are very connected with people who are in very dire need. And so City Team has this unique opportunity to bring in other agencies wanting to do good work and connect them with people who are really struggling.
Well, I know that Nancy's going to go over the programming and actually give us a rundown of what each of these do for the organization and for the community. But when we're talking about lasting, what about the immediate problems or in emergency situations? Do you have emergency services as well?
We do. We see people every week who walk in our door with a myriad of needs. Now, obviously, we're not a medical facility, but we actually are a place where people who might have a medical emergency may come because we've become a trusted place that you know you can get help. So, of course, we would call 911 in that case. But what we can do at City Team is really help people who need food. You know, Chester is a food desert. Food insecurity is a major issue, not only in Chester, but all around our area. So every week, people who run out of food, don't know if they're going to have enough money to get the food, can drop in and get an emergency food box from us any day. We also provide meals, warm meals, in our kitchen 7 days a week, every day of the year. And we love our work because we do that with an approach that's really dignified for folks who are struggling. But, you know, every day we see people walking in. We also have a clinic in our facility that City Team does not run, but we collaborate with Widener University, and they have a nurse practitioner-run clinic that operates 2 days a week right out of our building for people who live in our building, but also the community at large.
It's interesting that you mentioned Widener University, mm-hmm. because I know that the legal clinics that they run, but they are in partnership with the nurse practitioner programs to get into homes, because like someone who's coming in for an emergency service, when they go into a home to take the blood pressure of a mom-to-be, they can find out that they're having landlord issues or that they're in an unsafe facility and the rest of the kids are suffering from asthma because the landlord isn't keeping it repaired or up to date, or that they're worried about immigration issues and not looking for care for some family members because the rest might be endangered by it.
That's so true. You will find one issue. Somebody may come in because they're hungry. They may come in because they need to see a doctor. They may come in for whatever reason. But when you begin to ask questions, you learn how layered the struggle is for people who do not have the resources to get what they need. They're always making these negotiations and choices between rent or between some other physical need. And I think I've heard people talk about that for years, but it's still so true when people struggle that it's just a lot of things happening all at once for folks.
I always make the joke, I'm drinking water to wet down the fire that's coming up next, because right now I'm doing the one that's at my ankles.
That's right.
But that just seems to be what so many people are. They're so busy worrying right now, today I'm going to be homeless if I don't pay this particular rent bill. They're not worried about that in 2 weeks they're going to have a doctor's appointment. You're concentrating on the emergency that is right there. You don't have the resources or the facilities to care about the next thing coming up.
Yeah, and I think what we pride ourselves on being able to do is to relieve the burden of that immediate need. And that, I believe, for the families that we work with on a more long-term basis, gives them some assuredness that I can get 25 diapers a month from City Team, and I can count on City Team for this, and I can count on City Team for that. And I have heard people view that as if City Team might be enabling some, or agencies like us might be enabling people, but we do not experience it that way at all. What we instead experience it as is that people can have some certainty in a very chaotic situation, and that type of certainty can build a platform for stability that helps people move past where they're struggling right now.
What do you ask in return from somebody who is coming in? Is there any way to get them to invest and become empowered by coming to City Team?
I love that question. So it's two facets. First, we're not looking to make this hard to get help. So we're not looking for people to prove their poverty in a sense. So the first time you're coming to us, we want to create a very easy path for you to get help. However, if you continue with us, we want to know more about what your situation is first so we can help. And second, so we can offer you opportunity maybe to connect with other resources that can help you move past that. But we're also a great landing place for people who are in between jobs in between crises, and they can spend some of their time volunteering with City Team, serving other people in our community who struggle as they do. And we've seen that give people a lot of purpose to kind of get that kickstart back into a new, fresher life.
I didn't think to ask this at the beginning. What kind of numbers are we talking about here in the course of a course of a year? Do you deal in individuals, or do you call them as in families or households, or how do you keep track, and how many are you helping in a given time?
So we, believe it or not, we'll see about 5,000 individuals come in and out of our service area within a year. And I always highlight when we think about that number that our staff is 12 people and one person working part-time, so 13 of us. And so we really rely on volunteers to be empowered through our leadership, you know, to work with 5,000 people coming in and out. Now, we are a faith-based place, and there's a story in the Bible where the fishes and the loaves, where you have like five fish, two loaves? I should know. But anyway, you have a little bit, and you see God multiply it, and that feels like our lived experience every day at City Team, is that we have not enough to do what we're doing, and somehow it's enough to serve so many people in a really dignified way.
And you're doing all of this from, you've alluded to that you have a base where people can come into. What are the facilities?
Right. So we have a three-story building right in the center of Chester, and on our main floor, first of all, come for a tour. You'll love to see it. But on our main floor, I'll walk you through anyway. We have a kitchen, a commercial kitchen, and a dining hall where people can come and eat. We serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner to different populations. Dinner's open to the public. On our main floor, we have a learning center where the men who are in our residential programs can work on computer skills and job readiness skills. Downstairs, you walk a couple steps and you'll see the space we call our chapel, where we do have a faith service every Saturday night, but it also functions as an adult clothing closet during the week and a sitting space for people who are waiting to get help. And then you walk into what looks like a children's boutique store, and it's our free store where moms and dads of young children can come in and get repurposed clothing, shoes, toys, books, all kinds of things. And in that area, if you need diapers or formula, we have a back stock room where we can provide those for families as well. Second and third floors are where we have beds and residential spaces for the men in our homeless and recovery programs. And then we have a very small wing where a few offices sit, and that's where our staff team does their work on the third floor.
I love that people can come and more or less shop and have that self-determination, or choose on an individual basis that Johnny likes the color red and Jill will only wear blue on Mondays, and they get to pick and have some decision-making in the process.
That's part of what I think is unique about the way we approach our work at City Team. We really are looking for how can we create the most ownership, empowerment, offer dignity, offer respect to the individuals, not diminishing what they can buy into their own lives just because they don't have money. And so the shopping for what you would like is one piece of that. When people come in for our produce pantry, we're asking them, what do you like? What will your family eat? Food's no good to people if the kids won't eat it, right? And then on our Saturday night dinners, we have a program called Hope Cafe, which is sort of the pinnacle of this dignified approach, where we serve all of our guests coming in primarily from the homeless community, but not exclusively, and they get served restaurant style and are offered menu options every Saturday night. They can pick between entrees, and we have volunteer teams that come in and serve as the wait staff with linens and china and everything on Saturday nights, so that that community is served in just like you or I would with our paycheck if we were going to a restaurant.
That is so awesome. Is that a unique program to you, City Team Chester, or is this how it's done across the country?
It's catching on, but it started here. And I think I'm going to toot our horn and just tell you what we're really good at is listening when people have suggestions for how we can improve. And so we would always say, like, this is our restaurant. And we had this volunteer, and she was like, yeah, not really. In restaurants, it functions this way and that way. And we love the idea of creating more and more dignity. And so I think what's unique about our work is that we're always open to see it with more vision and to bring in more thought. And so we started doing that about 4 years ago, the Hope Cafe, and we'd been serving meals for, 30 years now. And it was really as a result of some focus group work and some things like that. And now it's catching on. Our broader organization is like, hey, that's cool. Let's do it too, which, that feels good for us too.
Well, of course, if you are interested in learning more about what we're talking about today, City Team Chester, go to cityteam.org and select Chester from the drop-down of cities where City Team is found. cityteam.org, select Chester. If you want to follow them on Facebook, they're cityteam/Philadelphia area, and on Instagram and Twitter, they're at City Team Chester. And today we are talking to the executive director of City Team, Quinn Tucker, and director of development, Nancy Kraske. I'm Laura Lewis. You are listening to Focus on the Delaware Valley, and we're going to continue the conversation now. Nancy, you are in the hot seat to talk about these programs that that Quinn has alluded to. You've got people learning towards GEDs. You've got all of these different programs. So do you want to break them down and describe what happens when someone walks in the door? That's what we'll start with. Someone has just walked in the door, and you're going to grill them and say, hi, and what can I do for you and all that?
Yeah, so essentially someone walks in the door and the response is, how can we help you? And it could be a myriad of things. It could be a mom walking in and literally being so stressed because she's on her last diaper. And, I've witnessed that and seen the flood of relief when we say, no problem. What size diaper do you need? Do you need anything else? Do you need formula or wipes? And oftentimes in those cases, the mom just breaks down crying. She's so relieved. I mean, as a parent, I can't imagine not having that next clean diaper to use for my child. So it could be that. It could be a man coming in from a recovery center or from another referral agency to find housing with us, whether it be in one of our long-term programs or our emergency shelter. So we have three programs for men to come live with us. And one is our emergency shelter, which they can come every night at 7:30 and they're welcomed in at 8 o'clock if we have a bed. There's no guarantee, but that functions as emergency shelter where they can get 5 nights every month, a shower, a bed, and a warm meal in the morning. Our hope is that they'll transition into one of our long-term recovery programs, which is our second chance program for men who are dealing with homelessness, whether it is a loss of job or some kind of crisis, medical, what have you, and they just need a place to stay. They can live with us for 9 to 12 months while they get back on their feet. And then we have our long-term recovery program for men who are not only dealing with homelessness, but they're dealing with an addiction issue. Oftentimes, the men that come to us in those ways are really at their last resort. They have burned through all of their resources, family members, insurance. They don't have a job. And so, that's a very desperate and vulnerable situation. So, we really want them to feel safe and secure with us. And we strive to do that in many ways. One is just in, extending a welcome. We really try not to judge people, and the men who are in our program will also lend them a hand up because they want to see them succeed. Another way a person might come into our building is they need an emergency food box. And, that could be a myriad of reasons as well. We had several federal employees come visit us over this winter. They just, needed some short-term help. And the great thing about City Team is that we don't judge or ask a lot of questions. There's not a lot of paperwork or red tape. So we really, if somebody comes to our door and says, we need an emergency food box or we're hungry, we're going to feed you. We're going to make sure that your family has what they need without asking a lot of questions. People don't come to you in that way, unless they really need that kind of help. I think about a mom who recently came in for our Hope Cafe. She has 4 children and is expecting. And one of the children needs some major surgery, an organ transplant. And so her medication while she waits for this surgery is so expensive that the mom had to humble herself and come for dinner. And, you know, now we see her coming in every week for produce and for our diapers and wipes and formula. And we see that not only are we supporting her family with their food needs, but we're building a sense of community with her. And she's finding a place where she feels safe and friendships and support. So when you ask, you know, when people come in the front door, you know, what are they looking for? That's the really unique thing about City Team is it could be a lot of different things.
Well, what if it's a family and they're coming in and they have some issues? Maybe they're underemployed because they're undereducated, or there's a language barrier, et cetera, things like that. How do you get to that long-term, that long-term solution in a case like that?
Yeah, well, that's not an easy fix, but we do offer a lot of ways where we can build community with those people by them coming in to get the diapers, the wipes, the formula, by them coming in to register their children for Christmas toys or Easter baskets or for school supplies. What's great is the people who work in our community outreach try to build relationship with those people, and to the degree that we can, you know, case manage them. We have had people come in, and we had a mom who has 3 young children come in, and she was in a living situation that was really not good for her or her children. It was not safe. And although it's not particularly in our wheelhouse, our community outreach team just walked alongside of her to help her get housing, because sometimes it's overwhelming, you know, to be a young mom and to not have the confidence to go and get the things that you need that are available. You just need somebody to walk alongside of you. So it's not like she walked in the door and we immediately started to do that. We built a relationship with her through these services.
And discovered where the gaps were. And then obviously you're working with great partners, and I don't know who's going to jump in on this one. Obviously, you can't all be addiction specialists or counselors. You can't all be GED tutors, et cetera, like that. You've got to have some great organizations working with you.
Yeah, Quinn alluded to the fact that there's only 13 of us on staff. And so we really rely on an army of volunteers. And it can be anything from somebody who volunteers, you know, a couple times a year to do the delivery work that we need at the holidays. Or we have folks who come in on a weekly basis and commit to being, you know, tutors in our learning center. Or they help every week with our fresh produce outreach or do a men's Bible study. So our volunteers are really huge partners for us and let us offer all of these services in a way that we couldn't as a staff, because we just wouldn't be able to.
And it takes it does take a village. So you're always in need of volunteers?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Are you looking for special skill sets, too, and or anyone?
Oh, no, anyone. I mean, what I suggest people do usually, just if they're interested in volunteering or just getting involved in general, is to come down for a tour. And that way they can actually see all the programs in action and see where they best would get plugged in. We need anything from somebody who can help drive and deliver our food boxes at a holiday to people who are, you know, a skilled tradesman who can do on a regular basis work for us in the building.
And you're also looking for in-kind donations as well. Obviously, you need to stock that kids' shop. You need to fill that closet facility and keep that pantry stocked.
Yeah, I mean, it takes about $4 million to run our program every year and to offer all the services that we do, $2 million of which is gift in kind. So that's the clothing, the food, you know, those items. And the other $2 million is in funding. And our budget restarts every September 1, and we have to raise that $2 million. And we don't get any government funding. So it's all individual giving, grants, major donors, and corporations who support us in that way. And, you know, for us to be able to continue to grow, we need to raise more and more funds so we can grow in other ways.
And, of course, our sister station, WMGK, does a big event for you every year. Our own John DiBella does a little turkey thing for you each year.
Yeah, exactly. So John is great. He does the turkey drop for us every Thanksgiving and helps us raise the funds and get turkeys so that we can provide 900 food boxes both at Thanksgiving and at Christmas to the people that we serve. And then we probably distribute another couple hundred to other agencies. So the great thing about City Team is that we've been able to build these relationships over 30 years, all these partnerships. And because we can leverage that, we've are also helping other agencies who don't have the ability to do that. So we help other churches and community organizations with our surplus.
That's amazing. Now, it obviously, you got to raise some money on this too. You have events throughout the year, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So we have two major events. One's coming up on April 13th at the Springfield Country Club. And that is our Angel event. It's our 11th year doing the Angel event. And it is focused on our mother and baby program and raising the funds we need to purchase the diapers, the wipes, the formula, the baby food. People donate clothing and shoes, but they don't donate necessarily diapers, wipes, and formula. So our staff has to go out and purchase those items. So the Angel event will underwrite those costs so that we can continue to provide families in crisis with really essential needs of the diapers and the formula. We have sponsorships available for that, and we also would love to have people join us at the event.
In September?
Oh, in September, we have our bluegrass and barbecue. It's a super cool event out at one of our major donors' homes. They live on a large property and, believe it or not, have a party barn. There's no horses, just...
So you don't have to worry about where you step.
But... No. And that's really focused on our shelter programs. And there again, you know, we need sponsors, we need auction items, we need, you know, new people to attend. And that is slated for September 29th.
And, of course, all of this information is going to be on the website.
Yes.
And I just mentioned that website, which is, of course, cityteam.org, and you want to select Chester. But now, Quinn, bring us home on this. When we go to your website, what are we going to find?
You're going to find basic information about the nature of our programs, the immediate needs that we're addressing, and the lasting solutions that we are able to offer. You'll find our contact information more locally. So if you want to come down for a tour, you can find a way to do that right on our website. And again, you've mentioned our Facebook page. Our local page is City Team Chester / Philadelphia area, and our Instagram page is at City Team Chester. And when you go on there, you get more of our local connected work. Nancy mentioned something earlier that I think when people are looking for that information, is helpful to know that we're helping a lot of people. We are very grassroots in nature. So when you plug into City Team, you are able to use whatever you have and make a very big impact because we are so local and so really just down with the people that we're working with. And I love that about our work. And I know when people connect with us, they share that love.
And of course, that was cityteam.org, select Chester. And your Facebook page again?
It's City Team Chester / Philadelphia area.
I misspoke earlier. So it's City Team Chester / Philadelphia area. And of course, on Instagram and Twitter, City Team Chester. But the easiest thing, of course, is always just go online, cityteam.org, and select Chester. And good luck to both of you throughout the year. And thanks for coming in today. My guests from City Team Chester, we had its executive director, Quinn Tucker, and director of development, Nancy Kraske. Ladies, thank you you again.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.